Happy weekend. Yes, it is. It's a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And I am so grateful that you are here. If you are a friend of this show, you know that storytelling is my passion. You know that the very cells in my body do a happy dance when I get to engage in wholehearted conversations with beautiful people. You also know that spreading kindness and dancing with joy are my love languages. Y'all, nothing fills my soul like being the presence of love God calls me to be. I say that every week, and I mean it every week. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the Backstory. Here we believe that every story has a backstory. We believe that it is the backstory that makes or breaks us, pushing us forward or keeping us stuck. The backstory is in many ways our centering, our inflection point, or sadly, the backstory is some person's prison. So each week in this hour, I get to engage with amazing individuals who found enough power in their backstory to create something that makes them and others better. For this reason, I am delighted to be here and delighted you are here with me. Thank you for that. Before we get into our wonderful conversation with my guest, allow me to invite you to keep up with KBLA on all platforms at KBLA 1580. I'm also on all platforms at Mishe Inspires. That's M-I-S-C-H-A. Our call-in number is 1-800-920-1580. That's 1-800-920-1580. And to infuse more empowering conversations into your days, download our app from the App Store on your device of choice and join the over 90,000 other people around the world who are tapping into KBLA. Now for today's show. Today we are discussing the new stage play, Kill Move Paradise. I am discussing it with one of the stars of the show. Kill Move Paradise was written by James James. And I may be saying that wrong. I'm gonna get a correction from my guest. James, as some of you may know, is the playwright for the award-winning broadcast sensation Fat Ham. He is a sensational playwright, as I mentioned a moment ago. He does really phenomenal work. His play, Fat Ham, was recently at the Geffen and just had rave reviews. Kill Move Paradise is being directed by Greg Daniel, who is a friend of the backstory. We've had him on the show many, many times, and just so excited to talk to our guest about him as well. My guest is a proud alumnus of the American Musical and Dramatic Academy, where he spent 4 years on both their New York and Los Angeles campuses, where he also earned his BFA. After graduating, he made a professional debut with the role of Calvin in the West Coast premiere of Scraps. As the world changed, he had the opportunity to explore film life and land a feature role in the short Free Machine that later premiered on Hulu. After over a decade of performance, Aki decided to add producing to his creative capacities, with the intention of creating a platform for a larger community of artists. I'm really, really looking forward to talking more about that because I love it when artists evolve themselves. Since then, he has curated, listen to this, over 20 different shows, connecting and creating with over 100 artists of all kinds. He also stars in Kill Move Paradise, marking his third production with the Odyssey Theater. Aki Togin, please welcome to the Backstory.
Hello, 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 hello. It's a joy to be back, I swear.
Hello. Yes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here with me.
I really appreciate your presence. I want to start by just saying again that I'm delighted to be in conversation with you. Thank you for saying yes to being with us today. It was a joy to talk with you the last time, and so I know this conversation will be that much more inspiring. Before we get into the play, I just want to have you, for our new listeners who aren't familiar with you, Talk to us a little bit about your backstory as it relates to the industry and acting. When did you get into acting, and was there something specific that you experienced that made you know this was the thing for you to do?
Gratefully for me, my mother was always the type of person to try to figure out and nurture whatever she felt like our talents were, or whatever she felt like we were also passionate about. And so as a kid, I tested a lot of things. I played sports. I was just in a lot of different summer programs. And one of the summer programs that I ended up doing was a musical theater program. And when I finished that one, the director of the musical theater program, you know, went up to my mom and she was like, I want to make sure I talk to your mom before you leave. And she went up to my mom and she said, he needs to be doing this. I think around the time I was maybe like 6 or 7. So that was a very long time ago. And for me to hear that, as a kid, you don't really always know what that means, but I began to continuously grow a passion for it. And I always tell people the interesting thing about it is, so after that, I did musical theater for maybe 5-6 years. And one of the times I was waiting for my mom to come pick me up from rehearsal, I went into one of the other theaters in the space and I saw a play going on. Long and behold, this play was actually A Noise Within. And I didn't even know what a play was. I didn't even understand what was going on. I thought that everything performance wise was musicals. And so I'm sitting here flabbergasted. I'm like, there's no singing. There's no dancing. Like, what is happening on stage right now? This is a real thing. And I remember leaving there feeling so inspired, and it felt like a challenge to me. I told myself from that point on, like, I want to try that. I want to try just acting. I think that's a challenge in its own. And so from there, I just continued to find ways to want to build upon my own artistry and want to build upon my own talents that were already being nurtured from other people around me, basically.
And isn't it sweet to, I find, let me not put words in your mouth. I find that it is so sweet to know early, like to get some sense of focus early on what you want to do. And not saying that that can change and evolve as it has for you, and we're going to talk about that, but how comforting was it for you to tap into what you feel is your calling early?
It was a beautiful thing, especially when, in most communities, and especially in the Black community, where they speak to having a village, you know, to help raise you and whatever the case may be. So my village was always also supportive of that as well. You know, I gratefully didn't grow up around the people who said, you're not going to make it, or this is going to be too hard for you. No, once I found out what it was, I grew up as a kid growing into an adult, into the man that I am today, with a bunch of people around me telling me, you got this, you can do it, you're talented enough and you're capable. And so I think growing up with that type of mindset, once you actually get thrown into the real world, into the industry, our industry is cutthroat. Our industry is unforgiving.
Yeah.
Our industry can be very blunt in certain circumstances. And so I think to have a confidence as foundation, to have support as a foundation starting from a young age, has definitely been a great, great, great pillar for me to lean back on as I continue to go through it as a now grown man in the industry.
Awesome. When we come forward, we are just getting started in our conversation with Aki Tugun, and I am Michelle Duffy. I am so happy to have you here. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more of The Backstory. The Backstory. Backstory. With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580. Tabra Smiley's new book, The Covenant with Black America, 20 years later, is now on sale everywhere. This classic text shot to number one on the New York Times bestsellers list almost 2 decades ago. If you have the original book, you will surely want to get this 20th anniversary edition with powerful new contributions from today's leading voices. This 20th anniversary edition presents a compelling blend of historical insights and contemporary urgency in this critical and unprecedented election year. Get your copy of The Covenant with Black America 20 years later today.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, The scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or Pro Desk for details.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Mache, his name is Aki Togan, and he is the star of one of the stars of Kill Move Paradise, which is a new stage play in Los Angeles, playing at the Odyssey Theater. And again, I'm just honored and grateful to have him here with us today. Before we came forward, Aki was saying that he has been blessed to be buffered by a lot of support as he came into the knowing that acting was his gifting and his calling. And the other thing that Aki shared was that the industry can be cutthroat and unforgiving, which it helped a great deal to have the support that he had. And Aki, I wanted to ask you, given the fact that, like you said, that the industry can be cutthroat and unforgiving, did you find that having already been nurtured in a nesting of love and support, has that helped you to not take the industry, the cutthroatness of the industry, so personal?
Absolutely. I think for me, my mother never really gave me the pressure of I quote unquote have to succeed, or if it was succeeding, it was never by the measures of accolades or the quote unquote bigger roles or the quote unquote $1 million contracts, as people outside of the industry would say. She never gave me those accolades as far as when I should feel like I made it as an actor or made it as a creative or anything like that. The support system was more so in a way of, do you feel fulfilled in the work that you are doing? Do you feel like something is changing in you? Do you feel impacted by the work that you are doing? And so to be able to come from those type of measures, to be able to be asked the right questions when I go to my family about whether it be an audition or a show that I'm in or a show that I finished, to be able to be asked those type of questions was definitely a lot different for me. So I wasn't looking for some of the things that they consider a success in Hollywood to be.
Amen. I cannot tell you how much I love these questions, and I love them because we are, in too many instances, whether it's family or otherwise, it is about performance-driven evaluation, if you will, right? It's always about doing something. Yeah. But this idea that your family, your mom wanted to know, were you being fulfilled in the work that you were doing versus are you making a lot of money? Are you making a great name for yourself? That had to feel very affirming. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it does. You know, and my mother and my support system in whole, you know, even my friends around me in California, they always tell me how proud they are of me. And even as a creative, I think we all have had imposter syndrome sometimes in the sense of not knowing either how great we are or how effective we are. And so even just hearing about your greatness or hearing how proud people are in that sense, like the support system in general in that way has been definitely endearing in a irreplaceable way.
Amen. Amen. Speaking of support system, you are a guy who has made it your intention to pay it forward. So to the extent that you have always had great support, you have made certain others are supported in the industry. And you've also been very intentional about creating a community of support where artists don't feel like they are left alone and by themselves. Can you talk to us about why that has been important for you?
Absolutely. I think that as creatives, a lot of times in our careers, we play the waiting game. And that is definitely something that can feel very futile after a while. And for me, I got to a point where I myself was tired of playing the waiting game. And when I say the waiting game, I mean that in the sense of waiting for somebody else to do it for you, waiting for somebody else to see your greatness, waiting for somebody else to point at you and say, hey, you're the person that should be doing X, Y, and Z. I looked around in my circle and I saw so much greatness around me, and I felt for me, there was no reason that we should be waiting for somebody else to tell us how great we are. And so that I saw that as a segue to let's make it happen for ourselves. Let's find a way to start that conversation for ourselves. I think California and the industry in general is one of those things where sometimes people don't see you until you show them who you are. And I love that aspect of it. Because then you get to make the name for yourself. You get to show people what you actually are great in. And sometimes those things are outside of, hey, I'm a good actor. Sometimes those things are outside of, hey, I can dance a little bit on stage. No, there are other passions that we have as creatives. And so me as a producer, there was the side of it where I just wanted people to see their own greatness and give them a chance to say, like, hey, when you get on stage, people listen to you. Hey, when you play that instrument, people are moved and are transformed by the way that you play that instrument. And I also wanted people to see that it is possible to see the other end of something. As creatives, we have so many ideas that just sit in our brains, or they sit in notebooks and whatever the case may be. And I just wanted people to understand that, no, if you give yourself some discipline, you give yourself some deadlines, and you set some dates for yourself, we can make this thing happen. And so that's what it's been for me as a producer, to really just push people forward. And I always tell them, ignite some type of fire in them that will continue to push them forward as well.
Wow. You know what? You sound like a modern day theater Harriet Tubman. You sound like the guy that's helping people to free themselves in a way that they don't even know they need to be free. Yeah. Oh my God. Listen, this line you just said, absolutely. People don't see you until you show them who you are. Like, that is going to stay with me. I thank you for that, because it is so true. I think sometimes we are spinning our wheels, begging people to just see us when we show up. But this is what I say. I used to have a company called Greatness Now, and the mission of Greatness Now was to help people to tap into, actualize, and own their greatness. And you are so right. Often it's people are waiting for permission, right? That they're waiting for permission to let their greatness out and let it be known. And it takes an Aki Togan to say, I see something in you. You keep talking about this thing. When are we going to do something about it? And just the motivation and the investment, that's the word I want to use. The investment that you make in people to say,
let's
not just keep talking about it. Let's do something about it. How does it make you feel when, well, let me hold that question. I want to ask this one first. How do people receive you when you are pushing them and challenging them to let the gifts do what the gifts can do?
There's a bunch of emotions that we go through for sure. I try to have very personal conversations with everybody that I work with, in the sense to make sure that they are very specific to that person as much as I can. And so sometimes people get angry with me because there are certain things in realizing your greatness that we are not ready to accept. Sometimes people get very happy. Sometimes people get very sad. So I've dealt with all the emotions, but it's all under the umbrella of exactly what you said, feeling that freedom of like, wow, like I've been wanting to do this for so long, or I haven't felt this in so long, or I've been asking for somebody like you to come into my life and really push me. And I always sometimes say accountability partners. So I love to tell people sometimes, like, somebody's worst fear is to tell me an idea, because I'm going to make sure it happens, you know? And so I've dealt with all different types of people, but I would definitely say great grateful is always on the outskirts of everything that people feel when we start to tackle the things that I feel like they should be doing.
Amen. Amen. Oh my God. And you know, the other great thing about you and your life and how you're using your life is that in this, and I know you don't do it for this reason, but I would venture to say that one of the reasons you are continuously blessed and continuously working is because of the investment you make in other people. Like, God blesses us to be a blessing. And you use your life as a blessing. Yeah, for sure. And as a result, I believe you are continuously blessed.
Absolutely. I love God, and God is first and foremost in everything that I do. And so I think even with that foundation, as believers, our job as believers is to, you know, be that light, is to, you know, be an example for the outside world. As believers, it's already supposed to be that. And so why not exemplify those same ideas in everything that I do? So I could not fathom the idea of being blessed with such a mindset, even, because sometimes it's not even about the talents. It's about passing on the mindset. It's about passing on the passion. It's about passing on the fire sometimes. Yeah. And I think that that even goes in tandem sometimes when it comes to being a believer. Like, sometimes you meet a person who is such a fiery worshiper, and it's like, oh, I want to get on that level. Okay, come worship with me then. You know what I mean? And so that's what it's all about. And I definitely agree with that. Like, God has definitely blessed me abundantly, and I'm grateful for every single blessing that has come my way. But no, you are correct. I do not do it for that reason. I just do it out of love. I do it out of necessity. I do it out of want, for sure.
I want to talk a little bit about the industry. I want to dig a little bit more into that, because Samuel Jackson, I'm sorry, not Samuel Jackson. Oh my God. I can see his face. Oh my goodness. Recently, his name will come to me. Recently, Ava DuVernay at Array, she celebrated one of the icons in the industry. I think his first name is Bill Dukes, right? She celebrated Bill Dukes. And Bill Dukes talked about how he became addicted to drugs and alcohol as a result of the rejections and rejections and rejections when he first came into the industry. He said he couldn't handle it, and it was another actor that reached out to him and really saved him from himself and saved him from giving up on the industry. And so when I talk about you being this freedom guy, I mean that literally, because there are people who come to Hollywood and leave Hollywood because they can't make it happen. I'm wondering from you, what is it that you use to relight, to reignite the fire in somebody whose fire has been put out because of the rejections and because people don't see how amazing they are? How are you, and what do you use? What's in your toolbox that you use intentionally to help folk get to the other side of their disappointment?
They are my toolbox. I think that anybody that I'm working with, they already have it inside of them. And so it's more so about diving deep, asking the right questions, and figuring out what really is the blockage, what is giving you the writer's block, what is giving you the doubt, what is giving you even the guilt to not want to do it, because some people feel guilty about pushing past where their friends are, whatever the case may be. So I would say that's definitely, I have to give the credit to them, because yes, I come in and I try to, as we keep saying, ignite the fire, but you have to understand that in order to ignite a fire, it needs more than one thing. Like, I can't just come with a flame and say, all right, no, I need a flame, and then I need something that is, that will actually be able to be, the word, I know what I'm looking for. It's, I know what I'm looking for.
Right?
But I need something that can actually, but I need something that can actually take on the flame. Like, if that were a piece of paper, that if that were wood, if that were gas, whatever the case may be. And so I can bring in my little lighter, but they I'm recognizing the fact that they already have the wood, they already have the paper, they already have the gas. And so it's actually using both of those to say, hey, I'm just the lighter. But in order for you to realize that there's a flame that's going to happen out of this, we have to take into the idea of you also realizing that you are what you are. And so I think that passion is a part of my quote unquote toolbox. Honesty is a part of my toolbox. And when I say honesty, one of my clients, I use radical honesty. And in the sense of like, no, let's really be honest here. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's not be industry honest. Let's not be politically correct honest. No, let's be really honest here and dive into some deeper things. And so deeper conversations, the whys, and probably.
If I could break in real fast, yeah. Tell me the difference yeah. between radical honesty and industry honesty.
Industry honesty is almost like, it's almost like being in a relationship. It's telling me or trying to get into a relationship, and you're telling the person what they want to hear. You know, sometimes industry honesty is business honesty. And so it could be the honesty that we think you should hear based on the business. Sometimes industry honesty is a little brutal, and it is a little bit like a punch in the face. But it also, those punches in the face don't come out of love. You know, I think radical honesty, in my opinion, what radical honesty is, it's like, even though you don't want to say it, even though you don't want to expose that part of yourself, expose it, even wow. though you don't want to experience what comes after you saying that or releasing that, let's go ahead and dive into that. And so radical honesty is breaking down the barriers that are already holding you back. Because I think that the radical honesty is what starts everything. Now you can be more honest in your work. Now you can be more honest to yourself when you're creating the work. Now you can be more honest when you're performing the work. And a lot of us, I try to take the word performing out, when you're storytelling within the work. So radical yeah. honesty just comes from a place of it's almost that unconditional love for yourself. It doesn't matter what comes after, doesn't matter what comes before. It doesn't even matter how I feel in the present moment. I have to say this. I have wow. to endure what this moment wow. is and take it on head first.
Wow. Oh my God. This is the conversation I didn't know I needed. Oh my god!
It always is.
Yes.
And there's a vulnerability to that as well.
What's your take on the word and how it yeah. shows up in your life?
I think that vulnerability is also radical honesty, and I think that one of the reasons, or when we talk about tools in my toolbox, it's allowing people to know that I'm not perfect. I don't ever want to be perceived as perfect. And I know there's a cliche way of saying that. And then there's also a very honest and truthful way of saying that. And I say it in the most honest way possible. I'm not perfect in the sense of the things that I may be trying to get them to work on, the same way, you know, I'm speaking to you right now and you're like, oh, I needed this. Sometimes I'm speaking to them and I'm speaking to myself at the same time, you know, and sometimes I'm working on something that I'm trying to get them to work on as well. And so I think just being open about that, I think a lot of times when we get mentors or when we get leaders or even just people that we work with, a lot of times when they are quote unquote above you, which I never want to be above anybody that I work with or help out or create with or anything like that. I'm not above anybody, but yeah. there's that feeling of being above them. There's that feeling of I've already done it. There's that feeling of I'm past you. No, I don't think we are. As humans, a lot of us, if not all of us, we're not past anybody. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much success you have. I don't care what's on your resume. As humans, we still are capable of experiencing the same emotions, the same sadness, the same despair, all of the above. And so I think just being able to tell people that I work with.
I can get you to hold that thought. When we come forward, more with my conversation with Aki Togun. He is one of the stars of Kill Move Paradise. And when we come forward, I want Ike to talk to me a little bit more, talk to us a little bit more about the distinction between storytelling versus performing. If you're listening, you heard him say that he doesn't like to use the word performing, but he likes to use the word storytelling. I want to talk about that, and then we're going to actually get into the play, Kill, Move, Paradise. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Disagree without disrespect.
Make your point and keep it pushing.
Let's do this. Listen and learn, or talk and teach. Talking and listening around the clock. Around the clock. Around the clock. KBLA Talk 1580.
I'm Tyreek Wynn. Here's the latest on the Black Information Network. Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, who is black, is criticizing her colleague Clay Higgins of Louisiana over online remarks he made about Haitian immigrants. Higgins posted on X Wednesday saying that Haitians are wild slapstick gangsters who eat pets, calling Haiti the nastiest country in the Western Hemisphere. Haiti is already blamed for the deaths of at least 20 people. The former hurricane had a maximum sustained winds of 60 miles per hour as it rolled through southern Georgia and caused life-threatening storm surge. And a storm surge warning has been issued for the Florida's Big Bend region, where Helene came ashore Thursday as a Category 4 hurricane. New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who is black, has pleaded not guilty to federal corruption charges. He appeared in a Manhattan federal courtroom Friday after being indicted on Thursday. The 57-page indictment alleges Adams accepted lavish gifts and trips from Turkish officials looking to buy his influence. That's the latest. I'm Tyreek Wynn on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Lowe's knows to start fall projects, you need reliable outdoor power equipment from EGO. Get your choice of a select 56-volt blower or chainsaw for $249. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 10-2 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Item number 520-7558 and item number 435-4078.
You're invited to join KBLA Talk 1580 in the Empowerment Congress for a vice presidential debate watch party featuring Governor Tim Walz versus Senator J.D. Vance, Tuesday, October 1st at 6 p.m., immediately following the debate. Broadcast live here on KBLA Talk 1580, there will be a live panel discussion. Refreshments will be served and seating is limited. So RSVP right away at KBLA1580.com. That's KBLA1580.com. At KBLA Talk 1580, we've got your black. You're listening to KBLA Talk 1580, where climate is king.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
What if the conversation about menopause and bladder leaks didn't have to be a secret? Always Discreet helps you embrace this new chapter with confidence, offering a bladder leak solution that keeps you worry-free. Its rapid dry core quickly locks away even the biggest gushes with up to zero leaks, zero wet feel, and zero odor, so you can jump, dance, sneeze, and laugh uninterrupted. Everyday protection for every level of leak. We've got you. Always. Try Always Discreet today.
The California Crusader newspaper would like to thank all of our subscribers for their support throughout the years, proudly serving the South Los Angeles and South Bay areas for more than 40 years. The California Crusader is a multicultural, black-owned, adjudicated newspaper that focuses on providing newsworthy information to the people in our community. We're constantly looking for ways to assist businesses in our community to connect with our subscribers. We provide low-cost, effective ways to promote your business with our reasonable and affordable advertising rates. You can participate by suggesting, sharing, and submitting your stories on the California Crusader newspaper Community Share Facebook group page, or visit our website at cal-cruise-news.com. That's calcruisenews.com. Then click on the Submit Now button located on the top right corner of the homepage, or text CCN to 42828. Again, text CCN to 42828. The California Crusader newspaper, working together to build a better community for our future. Subscribe today.
heard any other talk radio lately that sounds anything like this?
We didn't think so.
You're listening to Unapologetically Progressive KBLA Talk 1580.
Welcome in, back in, to those of you who have been with us for the hour and those of you who are just joining us. I am Michelle Duffy. My guest is Aki Togan. He is one of the stars of the new stage play, Kill Move Paradise, playing right now in Los Angeles at the Odyssey Theater. And we've been talking about, you know, Aki's career as an actor, as a producer. But one of the things that has my little soul on fire right now is just Aki's work with empowering other actors to own their craft, to actualize their greatness, to really get a project from start to finish. And a moment ago, he introduced us to radical honesty versus industry honesty and unpack that for us. And before we get into the play, I want to have him unpack storytelling versus performing. He said he prefers to talk, to tell actors that they are storytelling versus performing. So I can take it from there and unpack that for us.
I remember when I was in school, and we would be in dance class and they would say, lights, turn on your lights, make sure your lights are on. And that was the idea of being up and smiling and pushing the energy out. And I think there's an element of that that definitely falls into, you know, what you have to do when you're on stage or even on camera or whatever the case may be. But storytelling is almost just, I like to use that word because it makes sure that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, which is basically taking care of the story. The story is always the most important thing. And so if you think of it as, and for me, for some people, it could mean the same thing. Performing could mean storytelling to them. But for me, I like to use the word storytelling because I want to make sure, and Greg also said this as well, he says it all the time, that we are pushing out the story. And I think as artists and as creatives and even as performers, there's always a story behind everything. Even as a dancer, it's like, what story are you trying to tell me with this movement? Like, what story are you trying to tell me with this choreography? As poets, obviously, throughout the poem, you want people to be able to take something away that says, I heard the story of what that poem was. And so I think that it's always just making sure that the audience doesn't just take away how you felt. It doesn't just take away how, quote unquote, loud you were or how adventurous you were as an actor. But no, they took away the story that you told to them. And I think that's just a beautiful thing and the difference in my opinion, not saying that it's a fact, but my opinion of just that slight difference between performing and storytelling.
Amen. No, I love it. And I love this notion that, you know, actors are pushing out a story and that your job is to take care of a story. And one of the reasons the show is called The Backstory is because I believe there's so much power in story. And, you know, with respect to backstory, as I open up the show with every week, sometimes it is, you know, not sometimes, we live in the story that we tell ourselves, right? Just in terms of our individual lives, but it's how Absolutely. You go into that story and what yeah. you take out of it that allows you to live or not, right? To be or not, to excel or not. And mm-hmm. so getting the story yes. right helps us to get life right, helps us to get the role right, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I have such great appreciation. Absolutely. Yeah, for what you're saying. Speaking of a story, can we talk about the story of this play, the script? What did you think? What were your first thoughts when you got James Imes' script?
It is definitely, it's a harder script to read by yourself. And so it's one of those things where as you read it continuously, you find new things in it. There's so many things in there that could have multiple meanings in there. Even the structure of how the script is wrote, sometimes the way that the words are staggered, the way that the words are all over the paper, it influences you to try to find different cadences and how you speak on it. And even just his stage directions are so, you feel him come through the page like this. We joke about the stage directions all the time because sometimes they would just be like, I don't know what this part should be, but just make sure you guys have fun when you do it. You know, it would say something as simple and as blunt as that. And I just love that because you just feel, for lack of a better word, you feel a brother come through the paper rather than just a playwright coming through the paper. And I think that's just such a beautiful thing to be able to read as an actor, because it also gives you leeway to have your own jurisdiction with the work, and obviously with your director as well. But it just gives you some leeway to have some creativity with it, more than just following to the T what the script says.
Yeah, I love and appreciate his use of words and how he understands the power of words. Did you experience that as well?
Yes, absolutely. Especially when we all got a chance to read it together. And even as we have our shows on a regular basis and we're doing it more and more, every single time you hear something differently and it impacts you differently. And as actors, it was a lot easier to find certain moments emotionally because it's right there on the paper already. You know, when I was in school, they always used to say the word should always be enough. And sometimes you get a script and you feel like the words aren't enough and you're like, oh my gosh, I got to figure out how to find this, or that line doesn't fully make sense to me. But Imes's work is so beautiful in this play where the words continue to be enough to take us exactly where we need to go.
Wow, that word should always be enough. Let me tell you something, that is something to live with, right? That is, even as you're writing and producing and directing.
Yes, absolutely.
I can imagine how that carries yeah. you, right?
Absolutely. I mean, as an actor, the first thing you're given is words, right?
That's right.
As a performer in general, the first thing you're giving is words, if it's not going to be choreography. But even choreography is normally attributed to lining up with some type of word. Like, we're going to hit it on the end. We're going to hit it.
Right.
You know, so words are always going to be somewhere in our geography of trying to map out things and what they mean and how they make us feel, or whatever the case may be. So the words are always the foundation, the foreground. They are everything. They are the before, the during, the after. They are everything.
Absolutely. And speaking of words being everything, you know, a moment ago you said that Greg told you all you're pushing out the story, you're bringing the words to life. What was it like for you working with Greg Daniels as the director of this production?
I loved it because it was one of those moments where, if you are in the industry at some point, you probably have heard of his name. For sure. It's kind of hard not to, as much as that man works and as much as he is respected in the stage world and even the film world as well. And so it was one of those things where I had already kind of had an inkling of who he was and was excited to work with him. And then we got in there, and just like Imes, there was an element of him coming in and making sure he treated us like a brother as well. Of course, he kept his respect as a director, and he didn't come down to our level all the time because he still had to make sure that he kept his position. But there was an element in there where he made sure he related to us. He made sure that we knew that he was on our side, and he listened to us. Like, a lot of this stuff was very collaborative, where we would be like, Greg, can we try this and can we try that? And he'd be like, yep, it's you guys' play just as much as it is mine right now, so let's do it. And so that was a beautiful thing to do, because you don't always get that.
I was about to say, you do not always get that. And listen, I've talked to enough actors and directors and playwrights to know that that is not a liberty that many give. So I would also add that I think that there was something to be said about you all and what you brought to the table, that, and Greg is that guy as well, but you also have to trust the actors that you're with to know that you can give them that kind of permission. When we come forward, I want to talk more about that and being trusted as an actor with words and with story. And then I want to, again, just get more into Kill Move Paradise. This is KBLA Talk 1580.
A safe place to go loud. Loud.
A great place for progressive politics.
KBLA Talk 1580.
October 2nd is California Clean Air Day. Go Metro for free and help cut down on pollution and traffic. It's our way of thanking you, because every ride makes a difference. Let's clear the air together. Ready to go right now? Head to metro.net.
Looks like Bobby needs a ride again.
Grab the keys.
Let's take an
Monty, to the swap meet.
Grab the keys.
Whether you're giving rides or hauling gear, do it all in a Chevy SUV. Head to your local Chevy dealer, where well-qualified buyers get 1.9% APR on all 2024 Silverado 1500, Blazer EV, Equinox, Trailblazer, and Colorado models. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
1.9% APR for 36 months. Monthly payment is $28.60 for every $1,000 you finance. Example down payment, 12.7%. Must finance with GM Financial. Some customers may not qualify. Not available with lease and some other offers. Take new retail delivery by 9/30/24.
Hey, John, why so glum?
I just got let go. The company's downsizing. This is the third time in the last 2 years. I'm done with this.
Have you thought about My Computer Career? I've heard they can train you for a career in IT in just a few months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI. And you don't need prior training or experience. Now that's a recession-resistant career.
Wow, thanks. I'll check them out.
Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation. Mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
KBLA Talk 1580.
We've got a lot to talk about.
KBLA reminds you that when we fight, we win, and we don't black down. LA Community Action Network, or LA CAN, was formed in 1999 when 25 residents of downtown LA came together and acknowledged the problems that existed in their community and made a commitment to do something about those problems, to stand together, organize, and become a force in the community that demands change. Civil rights and preventing the criminalization of poverty are their core projects. In addition, they take on women's rights, the human right to housing, and healthy food access. LA CAN also has projects focused on economic development, civic participation, voter engagement, and community media. While downtown LA remains their home base, with a particular emphasis on the Skid Row community, in 2007, they expanded their housing and healthy food access work into South Central Los Angeles. LA CAN believes that power for low-income people and people of color is achieved through a large, active, and well-informed member base that utilizes a multitude of methods to advance their messages and goals. If you'd like to join the Los Angeles Community Action Network and organize people to fight back against oppression, please visit cangress.org. That's cangress.org. This is a community call to action from KBLA Talk 1580.
Every story has a backstory.
You're listening to The Backstory. Backstory.
With Michelle Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
She was walking in and she looked up and noticed he was nameless. He was homeless. She asked him his name and told him what hers was. He gave her a story about life with a glint in his eye and a corner of a smile. One conversation, a simple moment, the things that change us if we notice when we look up sometimes. They said I would never make it, but I was built to break the mold.
I am Michelle Duffy. He is Aki Togan. And what a conversation we have been having. I, again, am so delighted to have you all here. I'm delighted to be in conversation with my guest today. And we've talked about amazing things. I hope all of them have inspired you, from greatness to owning your greatness to radical honesty versus industry honesty. But before I lose him, I want to talk about Kill Move Paradise. So Aki, talk to us about the play itself.
The play is a roller coaster for everybody involved, the actors, the characters, the audience as well. It is a very socially injustice-driven play. The roots of it come from four black men who were wrongly murdered by police brutality. And from there, it's more so the entirety of it is the characters trying to, of course, find some type of comfort in that, find some type of release in that, but also making sure that the audience themselves understand them, not just as four black men by the end of the play, but just understand them as human beings, understand them as men, understand them for who they are to their families, who they are to their own lives, and who they are to themselves. And I think that's the beauty of the play for sure.
Yeah. Was there anything that surprised you from going from the script of it to the actualization of performing it or telling the story?
I think the biggest surprise is, and shout out to my fellow brothers, shout out to Jonathan, shout out to Sed, shout out to Ulato, because the biggest surprise was just how ready we were to take on the task. And I say it's a surprise because, just like I said about the director, as far as Greg, you don't always get that. You know, sometimes people, quote unquote, move slower than others or whatever the case may be. And that's okay. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we all were on the same page at a very early stage in it. And that kind of just helped us to nurture the story a lot more, to take it head on, to give it the energy, the passion that it needed in all of our own ways. And so I appreciate all of them so much, because there is no one leader of the show. There is no one star of the show. It is pillared by all four of us. And I'm so appreciative of that.
Amen. Can we talk about the audience? I understand that it is an audience engaged production. And how has the audience been receiving it?
Yeah.
Receiving the play?
The beautiful thing about it is every audience, obviously, as we always say, is going to be different. But especially for this play, every audience is going to be different, because you don't realize, you know, how much you're actually going to be involved and how much you are actually an extra character in the play. And Imes wrote it that way specifically. And so we even had a talk back previously, and we talked about the idea of what should they be taking away from the play. And it was just the idea of, like, if you're uncomfortable, then be uncomfortable. If you want to go make change, then go make change. If you feel riveted, if you feel energized by this play, then all of the above comes away from this play. And I love that about it, for sure. So the audience is just, they are Play-Doh to us sometimes, because we have the opportunity to play with them, to mold them into something new, to come along the ride with us, for sure.
Amen. I tend to think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I tend to think that each opportunity for an actor introduces them to another version of themselves. When we come forward, I'd love for you to think about what part of you, what version of yourself has this play allowed you to be introduced to, this Kill Move Paradise play. What new part of Ike Togan have you been introduced to? This is KBLA Talk 1580.
Stay tuned for more of The Backstory. The Backstory. With Mache Duffy on KBLA Talk 1580.
Presenting Again Fling's Love Story. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus this morning when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. Alas, I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Try Gain Flings with OxyBoost and Febreze.
Lowe's knows that to win the job, pros need the best prices. That's why only at Lowe's, MVP's Pro Rewards members can get a volume discount on eligible orders as low as $1,500 at the Pro Desk. That means you get the prices you need to start any job, small or large. Because Lowe's knows pros. Valid in-store only. More terms and restrictions apply. Visit Lowe's.com/terms or Pro Desk for details.
Heard any other talk radio lately that sounds anything like this?
We didn't think so.
You're listening to Unapologetically Progressive KBLA Talk 1580.
What a great conversation. What a great day. This conversation reminds me of why I love doing this so much. You know, I always talk about the joy it brings me to be in conversation with amazing people. And I tell you, Ike Togan has not disappointed, as he never does. But before I lose him, I want to have him answer this question that I asked before we came forward. Ike is one of the stars in Kill Move Paradise that's currently playing in Los Angeles at the Odyssey Theater. And Ike, I wanted to know from you, what part of you has been discovered in Kill Move Paradise in your role as Dez?
I think there's a couple things. I think for sure as pertaining to anger. For me personally, I was always afraid to be angry as a man, or as a black man in general, because of course I just didn't want that title. I didn't want to be an angry black man. And I think the play allows me to find an even more beautiful way What are the realizations in anger? What are the different ways to be angry? What are you really angry about? So just asking the right questions as it pertains to anger and grief. You know, I've had to grieve with certain things in my life, whether it be a passing of a family member or just a losing of a friend. Both of them require a grieving process. And so I think it's just also finding healthy ways to grieve the things that we go through in life. And then brotherhood would definitely obviously be the most important. I grew up around a lot of aunties and cousins who were women and sisterhoods and stuff like that, obviously coming from my mother and whatnot. And so I grew up around a lot of that and didn't always have the chance to experience brotherhood as much as I do in this production, because my brothers are everything to me. We do this together every single time, and they have definitely exposed a different part of me of what it is like to be an older brother, a middle brother, a younger brother, all of the above, for sure.
Amen. Now, are there any similarities between you and Daz, your character in this production?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, when I lost my father, one of the biggest things in the grieving process that stuck with me for a long time was the anger. I was a very angry person for a long period of time, and it wasn't always on the forefront of what my personality was, but it was definitely on the back burner for a very long time. And still is something that I deal with to this day. I mean, very naturally. But that was something, but also he's so charismatic and he loves to have a good time. Like, he's just so himself. And I've been told that about myself, and I enjoy that about myself as well, as like unapologetically being myself at any moment and chance that I get, for sure.
Amen. Well, Aki, thank you so much. I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate again you saying yes to being with me today. And I can't wait to get to see the production.
Absolutely.
So that I can feel all the feels and be a part of everything that we've talked about today. Listen, continued success to you and all that you do, my friend.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Ma'am. Thank you. Same to you.
All right, my friend. Again, special thanks to my guest, Aki Togan. He is one of the stars in the new stage play, Kill Move Paradise. It opened September the 11th at the Odyssey Theater, and it runs through November the 3rd, so make sure you get to see it. Special thanks to my awesome board at Kamal, who guides me each week through my wholehearted conversations. And if God says the same, we will be right back here next week, same time, same station. Up next is Cafe Mocha with Yo-Yo Lonnie Love and Angelique Perrin. Until next week, stay grateful, stay kind, stay safe, and remember to dance with joy. Lots of love.